Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide in the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Wednesday hump day, the first day of March 2023. Happy March to one and all. Along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer engineer on the board, we welcome you to hour number three on the big program. If you'd like to join us, give us a call, 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. Had a caller over the break, Mr. Zommers. We'll get into it a little bit more after we give some weather and news headlines, but was talking there a little bit about Tammy Baldwin, Senator Tammy Baldwin's bill proposal to crack down on the use of the words like milk and cheese in non-dairy products. And this is a great example of when I shoot my mouth off, and maybe I might not be quite accurate, and so I want to make sure we get it right. So, you know, I had said that before I discovered or started drinking regularly Organic Valley milk or organic milk, that I would get lactose intolerant. And afterwards, I haven't really had any problems since. And I started talking about the antibiotics and the RBGH and the hormones and other things that go into non-organic milk. And a caller called in, didn't want to be on the air, but said, well, double check that because things like antibiotics aren't necessarily still in the milk. So good point. And Mr. Zommers has been doing some research. We're going to clarify that after the news headlines. But you found some information, correct, Aaron?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, so we will set the record straight. Point is that organic milk is still, organic products still don't have many of the things that the non-organics have. But I may have misspoken about the exact things that are in the milk. So thanks to the caller. Always appreciate someone setting the record straight. And we will do that and talk more about this bill. Also this hour, want to talk about a unifier. Want to talk about the anniversary of PEPFAR. And remarkable last week in Texas, former President George W. Bush and former Speaker, Democrat Nancy Pelosi, at the same room, same convention, talking about the same thing on the same page. So who's to say you can't have bipartisanship and get things done anymore? We'll talk a little bit about that in this hour as well. First of all, a little check of the weather for you, starting from the RC and going north from WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center. Forecast for today, decreasing clouds, a high of 50 degrees, says Kara Foster. 50? That's fantastic in the RC today. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy, a high of 26. Tomorrow, Thursday, mostly cloudy and a high near 39 degrees. Up in Wausau, WXCO, Bull Falls Radio. Not quite so nice there. A little bit of a mixture, a wintry mix. It's going to make for around 2 inches of snow, throw in some freezing rain and drizzle. Not a great day to travel up near Wausau today. Tonight, that wintry mix will continue, a low of 16 degrees, maybe another half inch of accumulation tonight. Tomorrow, things start to clear off, mostly cloudy, a high of 32 in Wausau. Over at WLAK, Lake Air Radio in beautiful Amory today, we can expect snow, which is falling most likely right now. We'll continue, high of 33 today, maybe up to 3 inches total possible today in Amory. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of around 11 degrees. And then for tomorrow, Thursday, partly sunny at a high near 31 in beautiful Amory. A couple of news headlines for you at 10 past the hour of 10 o'clock. At least 36 people were killed in a train collision last night in Tempe, central Greece, according to the Greek Fire Service. A passenger train was carrying more than 350 people and it collided with a freight train. Here at home, scientists say that tests in East Palestine, Ohio, show unusually high levels of some chemicals in the aftermath of a toxic train wreck last month. 9 of the dozens of chemicals that the EPA has been monitoring are higher than it would be normally found in the area, according to a group of scientists. In response to angry residents, the EPA said it will continue to monitor the air quality in the area and in people's homes. Election news from last night, Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot lost her reelection bid, marking the first time in more than 30 years that Chicago has ditched its mayor after their first term. Lightfoot, the first black woman and first out gay person to serve as the city's mayor, failed to make the two-person runoff amid growing concerns about rising crime in Chicago. Paul Vallis, a longtime public school public schools chief who ran a tough-on-crime message, and Brandon Johnson, a Cook County commissioner backed by progressives and the Chicago Teachers Union, will advance to the April runoff. RSV vaccines. Vaccine advisors to the FDA narrowly voted yesterday in favor of Pfizer's RSV vaccine for adults over the age of 60, paving the way for approval of the nation's first RSV vaccine, despite some safety concerns. Russian officials today accused Ukraine of launching a spate of attempted drone strikes targeting infrastructure deep inside Russia, including near the capital. Following the alleged attacks, Russia's second-largest city of St. Petersburg closed its airspace and briefly banned incoming flights yesterday. Come back, talk more about this dairy bill by U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. Take your calls. And also later this hour, some bipartisanship between W, the former president, and Nancy Pelosi, the former speaker. Back after this, this is the Tom Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We are. Give me a big M.
M.
And give me a little M.
M.
Don't give me no pop, no pop. Don't give me no tea, no tea. Just give me that milk. Moo, 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 moo. Just give me that milk. Moo, 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 moo. Give me a big eye.
That's fantastic. Where do you get that at?
I tried to find the milk song, the camping song.
Oh.
I know I learned that in Boy Scouts, but this version is incorrect, actually, because it's... Just give me that milk, moo, 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 moo. Wisconsin milk, moo, 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 moo. You don't just say give me that milk twice, but maybe these people aren't from Wisconsin.
Maybe they're not. We're from Wisconsin, and hopefully you are too, but perhaps there are people, we know there are people listening across the country, across the world, that are not. And so we welcome back to the Todd Allball Show, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers. We are glad you are with us here in our final 45 minutes of the program. Coming up at 11 o'clock, we have As Goes Wisconsin with the spectacular Kristen Bry and the equally spectacular Jane Matinere. They will bring you all the news from Wisconsin between 11 and 2. And then at 2 o'clock across the Civic Media Radio Network, it is, it's Dueling Tangents. Get it right, Todd, with Luke and Brian. Except in Wausau on WXCO, where it's going to be the Chad Holmes Show. And I am honored to be a guest today on the program coming up at 2:30 this afternoon. We'll be on the Chad Holmes Show talking with him a little bit about news around Wisconsin and what's going on specifically in central Wisconsin. So appreciate that opportunity. Looking forward to joining Chad on WXCO at 2:30. Around the rest of the network then, Chad's on from 2 to 4 on WXCO. The rest of the network, it's Dueling Tangents 2 to 3. At 3 o'clock, it is Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open. You're not woke if you don't know history. He'll take all callers. Join Matt Flynn at 3 o'clock. And then at 4, our flagship program, The Devil's Advocate with Crudy and Dom. At 6 o'clock, it is Native Roots. And at 8 o'clock, it is The Rick Smith Show across the nation. I want to dive in a little bit more on this this press release, this new bill being introduced by U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, Democrat of Wisconsin, a bipartisan bill. Two Democrats, two Republicans. So it's Tammy Baldwin and Jim Risch. Pardon me. Tammy Baldwin and Peter Welch, the two Democrats, Welch from Vermont, along with Jim Risch, Republican of Idaho, and Susan Collins, Republican of Maine, introducing the Defending Against Imitations and Replacements of Yogurt, Milk, and Cheese to Promote Regular Intake of Dairy Every Day Act, better known as the Dairy Pride Act. That staffer deserves a raise. Whoever came up with that's fantastic. So anyway, this a Dairy Pride Act protecting, basically it boils down to this. It's basically to not allow oat milk, soy milk, to use the term milk. Soy, any product that's not actually dairy can't use a dairy term to describe itself on the shelf. And before the last break there, I was saying how I had gotten on to using organic milk back in 2007. Organic Valley, as it turns out, from Lafarge, Wisconsin. and how when I'm drinking Organic Valley milk, I have almost no lactose problems. And I said, well, there's, you know, if you don't drink Organic Valley or you don't drink an organic milk, it's filled with other things. And so a caller called in, didn't want to be on the air, but said, well, double check, Todd, exactly what you mean. And Mr. Zomers has gone to, as my former boss used to say, Google it up. And he Googled it up. And what have you found, Mr. Zomers, to correct the record?
I did some skimming over the break, and now we're going to share the whole story.
That is fantastic.
But anyway, I'm sure that's not original at all.
Well, give us everything, not just 2%.
Yeah, okay. I'll do more than one for sure, but we'll see.
A little dairy humor here on the All Ball Show this morning.
So anyway.
All right, go ahead.
It seems that a lot of the concerns that we were talking about, such as RBST or RBGH, both names for essentially the same thing, which is synthetic growth hormones for cows, a lot of those concerns are no longer statistically relevant. When testing milk from cows where the synthetic hormone was used and cows that it's not, the amount of growth hormone found, because either way, cows still have hormones that make them grow. So the amount found in the final product was about the same, and both at insignificant levels, especially since we don't process it. The little bit left that's not killed off in pasteurization is just digested and not, I guess, we don't use it.
Got it. All right.
And a lot of the studies in the past that had said that it leads to early adolescence, early puberty was only because as the generations go on, puberty has been happening earlier anyway. So it was correlation, not causation, as far as we can tell. And antibiotics, every tanker of milk is always tested for antibiotics. And depending on the state, if a farmer brings a second tanker that has antibiotics in it, they might get hit with a fine or have their license for selling milk revoked. So,
well, there you go. Good.
There are a lot
we have clarified the record. So again, I used to be, I don't ever want to pull myself off as a dairy expert, but I worked in this more when I was back in politics, the handling constituent cases. But so it appears really the biggest factor maybe in what the cows are fed, right? Whether or not, cows are eating grain or grass that's been treated with chemicals, that sort of thing, or whether they've been fed organic feed, grass fed, this type of thing. So
right, it's still worth looking into, but it's for different issues and likely less significant issues.
Very good. We like to clarify the record. I think this is would love to have Senator Baldwin on herself to talk about this and maybe reach out to the Wisconsin Dairy Business Association and have one of them on here, maybe somebody from Organic Valley as well, and really dive into this, because this is a big issue. So it's a real issue, number one, for what we eat and how it affects our bodies. But number two, it's a big issue in terms of money and economy for Wisconsin, right? Because Wisconsin is still the leading cheese producer, no longer the leading milk producer. That belongs to California last time I checked. But still the leading cheese producer in Wisconsin, or in the United States. So if we're allowing the use of the term milk or cheese on products that really aren't dairy, people may start buying those unsuspectingly. I think we take it for, we do take it for granted. Again, as someone who lived briefly in Florida and have traveled a little bit, a lot of people outside Wisconsin don't really understand what dairy is. A lot of people don't, even in Wisconsin, don't understand where milk comes from, where eggs come from. If you live in a place like Madison or Milwaukee, even in some middle-sized places like La Crosse or, Wausau, a lot of kids who grew up in town don't know anybody on a farm. They don't know. And so we take it for granted that, well, there's a difference between dairy and non-dairy. No, for a lot of people in other states, if they say milk on something, they just, milk is milk. They don't get it.
That's interesting, because I kind of took that for granted, that being in a somewhat smaller town, we did field trips to farms in like kindergarten, and they're like, you want to milk a cow? Come on, milk a cow. That's where it comes from.
We're going to, well, it's really interesting you say that, because I'm not sure we'll have time to get to it today or whether we'll get to it tomorrow. But one of the former Wisconsin basketball players, and this is a cool thing, I'm offering a little, I'll borrow Dueling Tangents title for a second, a little tangent. But Wisconsin basketball is celebrating 125 years in existence. And so before every home game, they're inviting a former player to come back and be honored. And the player, we'll talk about it later today or tomorrow, the player is being honored at tomorrow's game against Purdue, which is sold out, by the way. He actually, after playing basketball professionally, he is now a farmer and inviting kids from cities in to find out what agriculture is all about. It's a great story. I'm gonna let you hear it in his own words. But to your point, there's a lot of people that don't understand where their food comes from. And we in Wisconsin, particularly if you grew up in a rural area like I did, or a semi-rural area like Zomers did, you just think, well, everybody knows that. No, they don't. And so if you allow these labels of dairy or cheese to be put on products that aren't really dairy, that can have a significant effect on what people buy, which means a significant effect on farmers, and not just the farmer, but the truck drivers, the processors, the sellers, all the people that are, all the jobs that are associated with the dairy industry of the state are affected by this. So it's a matter of economy and money as well. So Tammy Baldwin has introduced this bipartisan bill, two Democrats, one including herself, two Republicans, and they're saying, no, you can't do that. Current Food and Drug Administration regulations define dairy policy or products as being from a dairy animal. However, last week, the FDA released ill-advised draft guidance allowing plant-based products to continue to use dairy terms despite not containing dairy, nor having the nutritional value of dairy products. So again, Tammy Baldwin, you know, firmly a Democrat, taking on the Biden administration a little bit here, the FDA, and saying, you made the wrong decision. The FDA's anti-dairy draft guidance contradicts their own regulations and definitions, allowing non-dairy products to use dairy names, violating the Administrative Procedure Act and hurting dairy farmers and producers who work tirelessly to ensure that made-in-Wisconsin dairy products meet FDA standards. This, by the way, I'm reading from the Baldwin release, just so I'm clear on that. This is you know, from their side, their take on this. The Dairy Pride Act would require the FDA to issue guidance for nationwide enforcement of mislabeled imitation dairy products within 90 days and require the FDA to report to Congress 2 years after the enactment to hold the agency accountable for this update in their enforcement obligations. The legislation will also nullify any guidance that is not consistent with dairy standards of identity, including the one released last week. If you'd like to call in to weigh in on this, give us a call. 715-388-7155. Again, 715-388-7155. What do you think on this?
I have a question, Tom.
What is it?
What do you think we should call it instead? Like, it's not milk. It's not juice. Is it just oat drink, oat beverage?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Oat water?
You can snicker at this and you can laugh at this, but I'm telling you, there's going to be millions of dollars spent on lobbying.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're 100% right. I mean, if they can't call it oat milk or soy milk, what do they call it? I mean, they stand to lose millions of dollars. The oat industry, the soybean industry, the almond industry, right? The tofu industry. They're going to lose all kinds of money because people are, I mean, I guess if you're already attached to a brand like Silk or Oatly, Oatly is the big one that we used at our coffee shop. And actually, I have to be honest, it was not that bad. Oatly is the one milk substitute that I could drink a latte of oat milk, specifically Oatly brand, because they source organic oats, and the way they process the oat milk, it's much smoother, creamier than not the watery kind of oat milk. So that's an option as well. Anyway, yeah, what do you call it? I don't know. We'll come back, talk about this, take your calls after this. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Give me a little milk. Kim!
Don't give me no pop, no pop. Don't give me no tea, no tea. Just give me that milk. Moo, 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 moo. Just give me that milk. Moo, 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 moo. Awesome. Great job, everybody.
Great.
Started to rain. Get along.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is 10:33. Little Kenny Chesney for you on a Wednesday, the first day of March, 2023. Mr. Aaron Zommer is on the board, myself here on the mic, and glad to have you along. Talking this hour, kind of the theme on our last hour, a little bipartisanship. What can America, what can Wisconsin get done when we actually work together? Your calls are welcome. Give us a call on the toll-free line. Won't cost you a dime. 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday. If you want to join us on the app, let's say you're not in Richland Center, Wausau, or Amory, say, how can I listen? Simple. Go to your app store on your smartphone, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, and then Media, Civic Media, and it'll come up. It's a little icon there, an emoji, not emoji, icon, I guess, CM for Civic Media. Tap on that. It won't cost you a dime. Takes less than a minute to download. And then open it up. Go on the left-hand side of the screen, hit Other Stations, and scroll down to scroll down to WRCE, News from the Center, WRCE. Click on that, and Monday through Friday, 8 until 11, Mr. Zommers and I are here with you. Want to finish up on this dairy issue with Tammy Baldwin, and then we're going to move on to George W. Bush and the 20th anniversary of PEPFAR. So Tammy Baldwin, U.S. Senator from Wisconsin, Democrat, has teamed with another Democrat and two other Republican U.S. senators to introduce this bill, which will require that if you're going to use the term milk or cheese, it must actually be a dairy product. Kevin Krentz, president of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, weighed in and said this. Wisconsin dairy farmers produce the best, most nutritious milk on the market, while plant-based products are allowed to co-opt the label for their own benefit. The FDA cannot choose which regulation to enforce and which it will ignore. In this case, federal regulations are clear, and FDA still chose to issue guidance in conflict with their own definitions, hurting Wisconsin farmers in the process. Kevin Krentz, president of Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, continued, if federal agencies are going to ignore their own regulations, Congress must act to enforce compliance and protect farmers. Wisconsin Farm Bureau is in full support of Senator Tammy Baldwin's introduction of the Dairy Pride Act, which would force the FDA to abide by their own definitions. It's fantastic. Got the Wisconsin Farm Bureau on board, creating coalitions to protect Wisconsin. Another guy, John Umhafer, executive director of the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association, said this, when consumers buy products labeled as milk or cheese, they're expecting delicious, nutritious foods made with the goodness of real dairy, not nuts, peas, or beans. John Umhafer, executive director of the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association, went on to say, the Food and Drug Administration's disappointing draft guidance allowing imitation products to co-opt dairy's reputation for their own sales benefit will result in more consumer confusion. And we applaud Senator Tammy Baldwin and bipartisan congressional coalition behind the Dairy Pride Act, fighting for clear, accurate food labeling so Americans can make well-informed choices at the grocery store. Also endorsing the bill, Wisconsin Farmers Union. The national president of the American Farm Bureau Federation. The president and CEO of the National Milk Producers Association. President of Dairy Edge Farmers Cooperative and Midwest Dairy Coalition. The bipartisan legislation is also co-sponsored by Senators Mike Crapo, Republican of Idaho, Angus King, Independent of Maine, Ben Lay Lujan, Democrat of New Mexico, Roger Marshall, Republican of Kansas, Tina Smith, Democrat of Minnesota, and Debbie Stabenow, Democrat of Michigan. Find it odd that Senator Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, not on that list. But let's see on the positive side for a second, shall we? Tammy Baldwin, look at this. Assembling a coalition of bipartisan senators from across the United States agreeing that we have to protect our dairy industry. Not just here in Wisconsin, but other places too, right? But particularly here in Wisconsin. And that not only is this good policy, this is great politics. Again, this is what makes Tammy Baldwin so darn hard to beat. Because as much as she is progressive, she's a pragmatist. And she's a centrist. She gets stuff done. And at the end of the day, isn't that what we want from our elected officials? Get stuff done. She's working across the aisle to protect Wisconsin's dairy industry. She's brought together organizations, political action organizations, actually, that oftentimes will side with more Republicans than Democrats, but she found a way to bring them together to protect Wisconsin farmers. I think this is great. And it's good for Wisconsin. It's just good, darn good policy as well. Applaud her for that. If you want to weigh in on it, give us a call. Area code 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-715, the number to call. Going to switch gears just a little bit. Again, talking about this hour, kind of our theme is getting things done in a bipartisan manner. A lot of times on our show, we point out what's not working. I always think it's important to have some positive news, too, and let you know what is working. Important to know that everything is not totally going to hell in a handbasket. There are some good things that are happening, like Senator Baldwin. But also, let's give credit where credit's due to former President George W. Bush. And I know just by bringing up his name, some people are triggered. Oh, geez, Todd, here you go. See, you didn't really leave the Republican Party. Well, yes, I actually did. But again, just like this morning, we're talking about Paul Ryan, former congressman and Speaker of the House, Republican of Wisconsin, saying this weekend that he will not attend or participate in the 2024 Republican National Convention if Donald Trump is the nominee. Doing something, at least in the current term. Let's look at George W. Bush and probably, I would say, the greatest success of his presidency that a lot of people don't know about or talk about because they're kind of reticent to give him credit for it. And yeah, it's fair to say that you may disagree with the Iraq war policy, Afghanistan, other things in his presidency. Fair. But also, I think it's important to recognize the last actual Republican president was George W. Bush. Trump wasn't an actual Republican in the mainstream vein. He was a Trumpism president. The last true Republican president, George W. Bush. And so this past week, former U.S. Secretary of State Dr. Condoleezza Rice and the former president of Tanzania joined former President George W. Bush for a conversation during PEPFAR at 20. It's an event marking 20 years of the president's emergency plan for AIDS relief. It was hosted by the George W. Bush Institute for the United States Institute of Peace. And the three of them discussed the inception of PEPFAR, its impact, its huge impact, and how the program is a win for partner countries and the U.S. foreign policy. And part of the reason is to kind of celebrate the achievement, but part of it is to bring awareness that this program needs to be continually funded. Okay? And so George W. Bush made a rare return visit to Washington, D.C., a town that he doesn't make any bones about. He's not particularly fond of spending a lot of time there. Would rather be back in Texas. But again, he kind of quietly called out Republicans. Not just on this issue, but on Ukraine. And this was the quote by George W. Bush at the PEPFAR conference this week, or last week. Quote, "We're a big enough nation to do more than one thing," said President Bush, "to continue the fight against AIDS on the continent of Africa and to support Ukraine is not going to strain our capability and capacity to help our own citizens. We are a compassionate country that cares deeply about people," said President Bush. Now, again, before you go off and say, oh, my gosh, you're giving Republicans all this credit. This is a bipartisan thing, you guys. Bono, you know who that is? Lead singer of U2, co-founder of One in Red. He was there virtually, provided remarks that he described PEPFAR as, quote, "the most eloquent expression of American values anyone can think of in recent times." Also participating, Bill Gates, of course, of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Microsoft as well, has given millions of dollars. Former First Lady Laura Bush was there. And guess who else was there? Former Speaker Nancy Pelosi. How many things can bring Nancy Pelosi, one of the most progressive people in the Congress in years? Nancy Pelosi joined former President Bush for this event. They're both on the same page. They worked for this together. It's a win.
Believe it or not, if something is just smart or just good, you can agree.
Exactly. And it doesn't mean that you have to endorse everything either. You know, just because someone participates in this and they can come together on this thing, it doesn't mean that by endorsing and applauding this, that you're also applauding everything else that person did, right? I mean, you can separate the actions of a person, whether it's on the left or the right. But to your point, Zomers, yes, you can put political differences aside. Grown-ups, people who actually love our country, can put political differences aside and get things done. And that is the takeaway I hope everyone thinks about today. Whether or not you agreed with all of George W. Bush's policies and actions, or whether or not you agreed with all of Nancy Pelosi's policies and actions, I'm sure there are people listening to me today that when you hear George W. Bush, you roll your eyes. And I'm sure there are people listening when you hear Nancy Pelosi, they roll their eyes. But the two of them, you cannot deny they actually love our country. Both of these people actually believe in democracy. Both of these people have rejected Donald Trump and believe in democracy and believe in the basic goodness of America. PEPFAR stands for the U.S. President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief. It's the largest commitment by any nation to address a single disease in history. And it was enabled by a strong bipartisan support across 10 U.S. Congresses and 4 presidential administrations and through the American people's generosity. PEPFAR shows the power of what is possible through compassionate, cost-effective, accountable, and transparent American foreign assistance. And don't get me wrong, this takes the goodwill and the work of people in Africa as well, to help with prevention and transmission of HIV/AIDS, to make drugs such as PrEP, which is not a vaccination for HIV, but it has like 97-90% efficacy. In other words, it's about 97-98% effective at preventing the transmission of HIV. There are thousands, tens of thousands of lives saved today in Africa because of the work of George W. Bush and Nancy Pelosi and others together. It works. Bipartisanship can work. Back after this, this is the Todd Allball Show. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is now 10:50, 10 minutes before the hour of 11 o'clock, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers. Glad to be with you on our final segment here for a Wednesday, the first day of March 2023. That's right, it is March 1st. I believe not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, we spring forward already. Set our clocks to daylight savings time. I think it's the 12th of March this year. I looked at my alarm clock this morning. I'm like, I know. I'm like, it'll be dark. It'll be dark in a couple of weeks now and again when we get up. But such is life, onward and upward. Give us a call if you'd like to weigh in. Our topic this hour, bipartisanship. Yes, I know it's not sexy, but hopefully it's informative and gives us all some hope. Because I think it's really easy when all we talk about is how terrible things are and how nobody's getting along and how things are terrible. It's easy to lose hope. And that's the one thing we can't lose hope. The one thing we can't lose is hope. I see hope in the younger generation, Gen Z. As I said before in this program, living in Madison and getting to see all these university students and see them get along with one another for the most part, that gives me hope. It gives me hope when I look at Tammy Baldwin reaching across the aisle and working with Republicans to protect Wisconsin's dairy industry. That gives me hope. And not just for her, by the way, but also for the Republicans who are willing to cross the aisle and work with her. And it gives me hope when I see that the PEPFAR program, started by former President George W. Bush and endorsed and worked on with former Speaker Nancy Pelosi, can have the amazing effect on Africa and the world that it has. Give us a call if you'd like in our final segment and weigh in yourself. Area code 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. 11 o'clock, love news and weather, and then another great edition of As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Matinair. If you have never heard the program, shame on you. No, it's fine. That's not fine, but give them a try. As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network. And then at 2 o'clock, I will be on the Chad Holmes Show at 2:30. But Chad Holmes on WXCO, Bull Falls Radio, from 2 to 4. And again, I'll be on that show today from 2:30. Looking forward to that with Chad. And for the rest of the network at 2 o'clock, it is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Don't miss it. This information I'm about to give you is not, I repeat, not from the Bush Foundation. Okay? This is from HIV.gov, a nonpartisan government entity. And this is what has resulted in PEPFAR's impact on the world. Again, PEPFAR stands for United States President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief. And how this all basically started, and maybe we'll play some clips. I was going, it's a two-hour conference that I didn't have time to break down today. But it's really interesting to hear former President Bush in his own words, you know, say that, you know, his staff kind of brought him this problem when he was president. And, you know, being kind of the skeptic, he said, prove it. And they did. And the president said, you know, I knew I had to do something. And so he reached out to the president of Tanzania. And they worked together. And then President Bush started bringing in Democrats because he knew he had to have Democrats in Congress to help pass this. And the amount of money and help and medications that has been sent to Africa and the impact is phenomenal. And again, this is according to HIV.org, a nonpartisan government entity. In 20 years, the global program results from PEPFAR have been this. 20 countries have achieved epidemic control HIV or reached the 90-90-90 HIV treatment targets. 18.9 million women, men, and children on life-saving antiviral treatment. 18.9 million. 2.8 million babies born HIV-free. Again, living in the United States, this is something that we take for granted. The health of a newborn baby. In Africa, and let me just be clear, there's a lot of stereotyping and stigmas involved with HIV/AIDS. It is not a quote-unquote gay disease, okay? HIV affects everyone, regardless of their sexual orientation. Happens all over the world, all over America. And so what's happening is many people are being infected with HIV in Africa. There's no testing, no drug treatment. And so babies were being born already HIV positive. In the last 20 years, thanks to PEPFAR, the work of George W. Bush, Nancy Pelosi, and other Republicans and Democrats together, a bipartisan bill that was signed into law, 2.8 million babies born HIV-free in the last 20 years. 63.4 million people received HIV testing services. 63.4 million. 27.7 million people voluntarily medical male circumcisions performed to prevent HIV infections in men and boys. 2.9 adolescent girls and young women reached with comprehensive HIV prevention services. 1 million clients newly enrolled on PrEP to prevent HIV infection. Again, PrEP is a medication that has about 97-90% efficacy to prevent HIV. 7.1 million orphans and vulnerable children and their caregivers provided with critical care and support. And finally, 300,000 new healthcare workers trained. This, according to HIV.gov, a nonpartisan governmental agency. I know we hear a lot about the problems of politics and government. And yes, you can have a fair and valid point that the wars that happened during the Bush presidency had consequential results, and certainly there were people killed. Innocent people killed. That's fair to talk about. But you also have to talk about the millions of people whose lives were saved because of that same president. There's a great line. One of my favorite movies is back to basically on the Clinton presidency. There's a great line in that movie where the guy playing basically a version of Bill Clinton says, "So which do I get, the high or the low? Do you grade somebody on the worst things they did or the best things they did?" The people deserve a chance at redemption. And how do we look at each other, our neighbors across the street and across the aisle? Great things to think about. Appreciate Trigvi Olson on the show today. Appreciate Mr. Aaron Zommers and you as well for listening. Back with a new show tomorrow. Until then, this is Todd Allball saying thanks for listening. Have a great day across Wisconsin. This is Civic Media. Keep banging on your drum. Keep banging on, and your day will come. Keep banging on, banging on.